tonight. This meeting is called to order. Please rise to pledge. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is the April 4th meeting of the Growth Management Land Use and Community Services Committee. Roll call. Vice Chair, please take the microphone, please. Thank you.
Councilmember Pepper.
Present.
Councilmember Weber is present. And Councilmember Dee is absent. Roll call.
All right. Approval of the minutes from prior meetings. We have to postpone that to our meeting next week. Item number one, public comment on topics in this committee's scope or on the agenda items. If anyone has something to say.
Brock Beatty, Black Diamond. From the last meeting that we were at, the finance meeting, I learned that public comment starts at the beginning and kind of ends there. And you guys gave me an opportunity. They gave me an opportunity to voice some opinions on the items as they came up. But I think it would be if the goal of the council is to be transparent and get public input, then each one of the items, as the discussion goes, should be open to public comment. And if, because I don't know what you're going to say for items 2, 3, and 4 until you say it. And then if I have to wait until the next meeting before I can bring those ideas or suggestions or comments up, then that delays things. And as we see, since the beginning of the year, things seem to get delayed as they get into committee. So maybe another point of improvement to your meetings might be to include some public comment as you do your discussions. That way the public has an opportunity to come up here and talk about things that you're talking about right now and have some difference, make some difference maybe.
Thank you. Any more else?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. I want to call attention to your agenda. You have discussion of resolution 16-1082, the mayor to sign a professional services agreement. This was on the March 17th City Council meeting agenda, and it was not given its first reading. It was not assigned to a committee. And the rules were not voted to be suspended. Drudowski's rules and procedures were not voted on to suspend them. The mayor said, you're going to send these to committee, so let's just move on. The council has said that these rules are there to be make the council accountable for the council's work. And when the mayor does that, and you sit by and you don't call out Drudowski's rules and procedures, you are not being accountable. You are not following the rules you have championed. And I say because of this, unfortunately, there's people here, but unfortunately, I believe that you need to suspend item 2, and the first reading would be on the council agenda for this week at the council meeting. If you are truly going to follow Drudowski's rules and procedures, you need to truly follow Drudowski's rules and procedures. And you did not do this on March 17th. You have 3 resolutions that have gone to committee that were not heard for their first reading on the 17th. They were not assigned to committees on the 17th. Yet here they are. They're going to be heard in committees. There's one tonight and 2 tomorrow night. And the rules were not suspended. You are violating Drudowski's rules of procedures. Now, Item three, unfortunately, we have some people here that are interested in item three. Item three was not on the agenda on the 17th. It had been pulled for because it seemed like there was something that was missing. It wasn't ready. And pardon me for being quite perplexed. How can you have an intelligent discussion of a resolution when you don't even have it included in your committee packet? How can you intelligently discuss this? Do you even have it with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we
do. Okay. Do any of us have it? It's not in here. I don't have it. I printed up the first page. It seems to me this hasn't even been before the council for first reading to be assigned to your committee. And yet you're just grabbing it. Once again, you are in violation of Drudowski's rules and procedures. You're in violation of, what is this? This is section 9 point, and I grabbed the page and it doesn't have it, but under resolutions, the page is 16 of 30. So right now you've got two things on your agenda here that should not even be on here because they're in violation of the rules. And as much as I hate what you guys have done to the rules, you can bet I'm going to be holding your feet to the fire. You're the ones that wanted them. You've got to live by them.
Thank you for coming. Anyone else like to speak?
Yes. Good evening, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Members of the committee. My name is Gary McLean, and I'm an attorney, and I do a lot of land use work in the region throughout Puget Sound. And I've been a city attorney for several jurisdictions, a city manager, and I'm a hearing examiner for a number of cities as well. I was contacted by Mr. Johansson and his team, the applicants, and we're here tonight to answer any questions that you might have on the preliminary plat that is up for final plat approval. And we would ask that the City Council take action this week to approve, because you're probably familiar with the timelines that apply to final plat approval. And for members of the public that may not know, or council members who don't do this every other day of the week, a subdivision is a very different animal. It's not like an invoice. It's gone through a horrendous process that many people never even knock on the door and try, because it is so long and all-inclusive. And in the city of Black Diamond, like a lot of cities, there's a huge review process at preliminary plat level. It goes to a hearing examiner. Hearing examiner has to issue findings and a decision, and you've got that in front of you. And that was years ago. And then the applicant, their team, has to go forward and finish all these conditions of approval. And if people want to see what it is, it's right up the street here on 5th. And you've got a new part of 5th that was pretty narrow, pretty skinny, unimproved. It's been paved. That's one of the conditions for the frontage improvements and the subdivision. And it's just one of the things that highlight that this subdivision's ready to go. And under state law, under state subdivision statute, cities have discretion to adopt subdivision codes that are substantially similar to state law. But one thing all council members should be conscious of, and I'm sure you are, under state law, the subdivision statute says you've got 30 days from time of filing of the final plat, but under the city code, it says 60 days. It shall be approved, disapproved, or returned to the applicant. And the 60-day timeline, that's fair, but your packet demonstrates to you that January the 6th was the time that this team got an application into you that was deemed complete by the city. And it's been deemed complete by the city engineer, your public works director, and your planning staff. And I contacted your city clerk's office today to verify that there were no public comments that have come in the door. No one's knocked on the door and say, we don't like this, we got a question, and we're here to answer if you've got any. But with that, we believe that the applicant team here in front of you on this subdivision, the Diamond Ridge plat, they're ready to go, and they ask your indulgence and approval. And if you might, I see you have a number of items on the agenda. If you're willing to move it forward to take it up first, we'd appreciate that, because time is money, and believe it is. And on the agenda on Thursday, I believe it's agenda item 8, we have heard no opposition. We have heard no question. And the applicant team is ready to be present and accounted for and answer any questions. But if there is no dispute, we're ready to move forward and would ask your indulgence to move it forward as quickly as possible. Thank you.
As long as we don't have any other public comments.
Oh, yes, right. Any other public comments?
Thank you for your time.
Yes.
Well, Madam Chair and Council Member, thank you for your public service. I'm Brian Dardowski, and I'm very amused. I'd like to have the city give me a plaque that says Dardowski Rules so that I can hang it up in my office, because I'd love to have that. That's probably the first time anybody's ever said that. I know the Seattle Times refers to a lot of cities as Dardowskivilles because I was involved in the formation of about a half a dozen of them. But this is the first time Dardowski Rules. Of course, they're not Dardowski's rules. As you know, and as I put on the record, you asked me to provide some rules or suggested rules in order to address an extraordinary situation that you experienced at your first council meeting, where the mayor removed items midstream, mid-motion, from the agenda, and you wanted to keep that from happening, and so you asked me to draft some potential rules, and that's history. They are now the council's rules. They're not Dardowski's rules, though I do understand them, because council rules and procedure is a certain expertise of mine, going back to my days on the King County Council, and even farther back, 40 years ago, on the topic. I'll give you some thoughts. It is possible that the items that are on your agenda in the committee may not have been properly referred to committee. One would have to listen to the tape and determine if the vote was actually taken to do the referral. The committee is in no position to make a decision one way or the other. The prudent thing to do would be, recommendation would be, that you would move forward as though it were properly referred. That if there was an error, if in the ensuing couple of days someone listened to the tape, and you might ask the clerk, you might say it's a proper question to ask the clerk. So here's a course of action. You can, if you wish, take action on these items, refer them on to the council. You can also send a memo to the clerk and ask the clerk if she would be willing, or ask her to verify that it was properly referred. If she determines that they were not properly referred, then at the council meeting, the chair of the committee can ask the chair, the presiding officer, the mayor, to make a motion to take action on these and waive the rules in order to accomplish that. That's according to the rules. Good rules have ways to that they can be used so that they don't frustrate common sense. And your rules say that any three council members can take any item out of committee and put it up for action. That's how it works. All you have to do is just simply move to waive the rules. Three votes, you can do it. So there is a very clear path for accomplishing that. The other issue as to the packet, I'm bewildered as to why the clerk did not include the plat information in your packet. That isn't clear to me at all. It should have been included in there. There may be some disagreement. I think the city attorney opined at the last meeting that the council couldn't refer it to committee because of some state law. I'm not an attorney. The people that I've consulted with and my reading of the rules are very clear about this, that the council can choose any mechanism that it wishes to do review of documentation, and review of a final plat would be included in that. In fact, it makes a lot of sense for the council to have a committee look at it, scrutinize it, be careful about it, and rather than taking the full council's time. A final plat is a fairly ministerial, in fact, it's often referred to as a ministerial decision. which is to say that if the conditions have been met, and if the city staff certify that they have been met and sign off on that, then the council really has very limited authority to contradict that. There'd have to be a very, very clear showing, a very clear error, a manifest error, in order for the council to not approve the plat. I was asked to look at the plat review, and I have to tell you that the work appears to be done very thoroughly. It appears that the staff did a good job in analyzing it. It appears that the applicant did a good job in providing their documentation, and it probably makes a heck of a lot of sense to pass it on. So in summary, these are the council rules. I was proud to be a part of it and to have been asked. Number two, one of the principles is detailed committee review. That's what you're doing here. You're doing it despite the fact that the mayor is not allowing staff to attend. Frankly, under the circumstances, you should be congratulated for conducting a detailed, substantive meeting without the benefit of staff. Secondly, if Robin Taylor is correct that the items were not properly referred, that is not at all a fatal defect. The committee is not in any position to make that decision one way or the other. I recommend that you conduct your business as you normally would, ask the clerk if there's a problem, and then there's a mechanism that you can employ at the full council if that needs to be done. Finally, the committees can talk about any resolution or ordinance, whether it's been referred to committee or not. You can't vote on it and make a recommendation, but you can certainly discuss it. And so even if it were correct that this item was not, the plat, for example, was not properly referred, you certainly have the right to discuss it, to take information about it, and consider it. You even have the right to, as council members, to send a memo to your colleagues and say, we've reviewed it and we think it's fine. But the committee, legally, if it's not been referred to your committee, the committee itself cannot take action to make a recommendation to the council. But nonetheless, you as council members can certainly say, we've discussed it, we've looked at it, it makes a lot of sense, let's go for it. Well, absolutely right. And so it's good rules, and I think your rules are good. Good rules build in flexibility, they build in fairness, and they build in predictability. And that's what you have here. Oh, I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to speak?
Thank you. My name is Pete Kelleman, K-E-L-E-M-E-N. You know, sometimes people get quite creative in their spelling of that. So thank you for allowing me to speak. I'd just like to let you know I'm really concerned about the increased levels brought on by the massive development of Euro Bay or Crown Point, as they're called now. I know if you look at what they predict, they're going to be quite massive. And we've all seen what unchecked growth has done to Kent Kangley, especially when you look at the area between Cummington and Four Corners. Or look at 169 headed out through Maple Valley. It just gets really, really crowded there. I know a lot of other people are concerned as well. I think the level of service that we currently have, at the very least, needs to be maintained as we go forward. I realize that what we have now isn't always the best, but we shouldn't allow it to get worse. I believe I understand that there will be a new traffic consultant to work with the city. I think it would be very important that any consultant picked be thoroughly reviewed and that they realize the city's position, and that if they've already worked for the city, their prior work be reviewed, both their technical quality and their ability to communicate. Thank you.
Having read this and having read the hearing examiner had 13 points that for you to meet in order to proceed with your, as you went along with the development and all those points were met. Staff has approved this. So this project is completely done. Are there no other pieces? Because it said you have until August 2016 on this, and there's some monies for things that aren't quite done. Yes, please. And I know that the avenue has been improved from, I think, 15 feet to 20 feet.
Yeah, that's correct. And Madam Chair, for the record, yes, this is Jalen Johansson, one of the applicant team.
Okay.
Just a little clarification, and if you already know, pardon my going through something, but the hearing examiner issued a decision which approves the preliminary plat. And I believe the 13 items you're speaking of, they're conditions of approval. So it's approved in that aspect. And that's like road improvements, storm drainage, environmental considerations, of lot size, of grading, elevations, all those things are included within conditions of approval. And then it behooves the applicant team, and in this case, the original applicant sold the plat. And this team purchased that plat as, oh, it's ready to go. And the economy was slow. This team bought it and made it happen. And they improved the streets. They put in that storm drain pond, the storm pond that you see there. You can go see it tonight. Some of the grading work still has to be done. For instance, asphalt. You don't finish all the asphalt until the plat's starting to be built out because you don't want it torn up as contractors are coming in and out building homes and things of that sort. But I believe I'm right, Jane. A 2-inch lift is on there. And there are two more to go. And folks that do this all the time, you understand what we're talking about. But people are going, oh, that's not done. Those are the kind of things that still need to be done. And the bonding requirements are to ensure and assure that those actually will get done. And if they don't do them by the deadlines the city engineer, public works staff, or people like that set, they call on those bonds. And that's a bad thing for a builder and a developer. So they get it done because you don't want to pay more for your next insurance and bonding fee. So the incentive is to get it done and to move forward quickly. And to answer your question, short and sweet, yes, they have met all of the conditions needed for approval.
Mm-hmm. And all the staff has also said that all the conditions have been met.
And in fact, the city of Black Diamond is like many cities. They contract out the final review with a professional engineering firm to look at the plat documents and the survey markers and things. As you might know, Black Diamond is not unusual. South King County is full of it where, you know, your surveys can be a problem. They weren't. And they hired the parametrics firm, I believe, as a third-party review. And they've A-OK'd everything and said they're ready to go. And for members of the public that may not be aware, the council members have the packet. The packet went out for you for your April 7th city council meeting. The packet about this plat did not go out for your committee, but it was attached to the packet for the council meeting that's this Thursday. So they have everything with all this recommendation, and do people want to look it up? It is on the website, but you have to open the link to the city council meeting to get this part of that packet, and you all have that. One last thing, the preliminary plat approval, for people that don't know, that can be appealed to King County Superior Court under the state's Land Use Petition Act. And that window of time for anybody that opposed it, and sometimes neighbors do, and sometimes environmentalists or others that have a cause and care about the plat and think that they left something out. They're cutting down too many trees. They're doing something wrong. They're putting in too many lots. That appeal period expired. Nobody appealed it. So it stands as approved by the hearing examiner with all those conditions, with no modifications. And you should know this applicant did not come in and ask for a modification, which during this lousy economy, you probably saw a lot of people coming in, oh, can we change things? Really? I don't want to build that kind of road. I don't want to build that big a house. Sorry, but you saw a lot of that belly aching. This team didn't do that to you. They built it as approved initially. And they're ready to sell. And to the people that are worried about budget and finance, you've got 10 lots on which you're going to have several homes that are probably going to be built and sold quite quickly. And the price tags on these are going to be well in excess of what you'll see on Zillow in the surrounding community, but it'll be a healthy bump to the city coffers in the form of real estate excise taxes that are paid. And the sooner the plats approved, the sooner the real estate market can put them on the MLS and sell the lots, and the homes will be built. And this team is actually the development team, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
They don't plan to sell this to some other builder. You're looking at one of the people that will be doing it. They're invested in the community. So, any questions?
I was looking at the pedestrian walkway for people to come down to the school, and apparently the 22-foot road on Fifth Avenue is considered enough of a pedestrian walkway.
It was a 22 instead of 24. It was deemed that it was still safe for pedestrians or for the kids to walk, basically, because of the amount of traffic. It's not necessarily on that section of Fifth Avenue.
The lack of traffic, actually.
Page 8. Street access. Safe and convenient access and travel for pedestrians and
And I believe you've answered the question there, but it's a level of service, and it's a traffic standard. And if the traffic engineer's report showed that the daily traffic flow, the worst daytime traffic number is low enough, that's what regulates what kind of improvement has to be. The state subdivision code requires that one of the standards of review and approval address the fact that there are safe paths for children to go to and from the school. Mm-hmm. And that was deemed satisfied as built. And anybody can go on Fifth. You'll notice that the widest part of Fifth is on the frontage in front of this subdivision. So these developers actually improved the path for everybody to the north and the south that might have a child that walks along that route. Well, and that's one other thing is state law. The courts of Washington prohibit improvements that go beyond the frontage generally, unless you can show that there's a proportional impact on upstream effects. And just with 10 lots, the impact's just not there to justify essentially a four-lane road or a much wider road for...
Yeah, especially because there's a dead end at the end of that road. I live in Los Angeles State, just like right behind that. So the only real impact I have is going over to the bottom by the park where they cut the line in. But it would be nice to have some new houses in there, and definitely the new road, because that section is definitely pretty narrow. And I agree with the chair here that, you know, I've read this thing from front to back, memorized it all, but I've read it, and I like the fact that obviously all the conditions are met, you know, before it comes to the council. I wanted you to know or understand that we're not trying to interrupt the process or kind of dismantle or, you know, muck up the water. It's just that we want to make sure as council, especially newer council, that we're following rules, being thorough. And like I said, you know, I've read this thing. I like the fact that there's some fairly stringent HOA rules that I noticed are in there as well. So it seems like it's going to be a really nice little neighborhood addition. You know, it's kind of a quiet, older neighborhood up the hill, so I think some of those rules will kind of fit in with what's out there. But like I said, as far as myself, we're doing it. I would say all the squares have been checked.
Yeah, I just have a question about, it's on page 5, and it's like, the applicant will need to reconstruct the swale to ensure that all steps down the road are adequately wired to the plaque. And this item is covered by the performance bond, which we talked about a little bit. And I'm just wondering, is that already completed? Because it would mean that you have the plans and you are going to do it by office.
What page 5 are you on?
I'm looking at...
You mean the staff report?
The file number. Diamond Ridge Subdivision Staff Report, city file number.
Okay. I've got the resolution, and then I've got attachment A.
It says March 29th at the top of the lease.
So you're on the staff report, page 5, item G?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the one that falls under condition 5.
Right. Jalen, you can speak to that.
Okay. So basically it's a storm swell that was part of the condition mm-hmm. of the construction, and we installed it, but it's only to take the water from Lawson Hill project that comes from Lawson Hill, and it comes down through the project because it's historically gone that route. But now that there's houses there, we had to reroute the water to go around the houses. And during heavy rains this year, we witnessed the water coming from Lawson Hill, which is a large quantity of water, would come through that swale, and it was absorbing into the ground, I guess, and coming up in different places. So part of the discussions we had with Seth was that we would reconstruct that swale at a later date so that that water contains in the swale and goes to the storm outfall and, instead of going into the ground and dispersing onto other properties. So it's, yeah.
You want to know why?
Sure.
The short answer, and it's fun, you should remember this, you know, you're going to enjoy this. In Washington State, it's the common enemy rule. Water is everyone's common enemy, and in this situation, they're dealing with water from somewhere else. And if it already came there from somewhere else, the law requires them to take care of it, and that's what this condition is to make sure they do.
Right, we have really, really a lot of water here, a lot of water right up here.
Yeah, haven't we?
And during that
yeah,
time.
It's a river during heavy rains. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but you are equal to the task.
Yeah.
And the good news is, for you all, they had a trial run during the worst weather we've experienced in decades, whereas this could have been approved 4 years ago, same design, and boom, all the homeowners go, where'd this water come from? So they've already had the fire hose test, and all right, we'll do it better.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments, and I really appreciate you being here tonight, and after meeting last time, to let us know that you're very happy. And I like the documentation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Last check. Do you feel this is ready to move on?
Yeah. I have no problem with it at all.
So we will make a due pass recommendation for this to the council meeting for Thursday, and they will take it up at that time. For final. Okay, item 2, discussion of resolution 16-1082.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Authorizing the mayor to sign a professional services agreement for building department related services. We are in the process of finding out more about this. Regarding the proposed contract for building services with BHC. And we have asked for more information dealing with the following questions. Is there a proposal from BHC to the city that preceded this contract? And did the city go out on bids for this contract? Are there other organizations that can do this work? And what is are there comparable prices for them? Did you consider any other companies that could provide this service? And did Covington and Maple Valley refuse to provide equivalent services for BHC? Covington, Maple Valley, and Black Diamond have shared these services. And at this time, we are looking for more services than 2 days a week. They are looking at 3 days a week, and I'm hoping to have these questions answered by our meeting next week.
Could you repeat those questions?
Yes.
What you said?
Yes, of course. Sure.
I was reading this. I thought it was a
you, yeah, okay. Is there a proposal from BHC to the city that preceded this contract? Did the city go out for bids on this contract? Did you consider any other companies that could provide this service? And did Covington and Maple Valley refuse to provide equivalent services to BHC? Anybody else like to make a remark about this? Okay.
So, real quick, so you've asked the questions, but you have gotten no response?
Not yet, no.
And you asked the questions when?
Last night.
What time? Well, I'm serious.
No, yes, of course. 9:48. I did not say I was expecting a response today, okay? I said we may have something by next week. Okay, moving on to item number 4. This is the grant agreement authorizing the stormwater grant. This item has been referred to two committees. I think we have the same idea that we would like to see an amendment that makes more clear how the funding will be spent, so that the taxpayers' money is attached to actual specifics of some kind. And as we heard in the earlier meeting, the $50,000 of grant money is, it's taxpayer money. And so I think we feel pretty strongly that we would like to have a little bit more specificity on that. Anybody want to talk to that?
I'll just mention that it was also mentioned in our last meeting to be nice to have some specifics, so that is something that we can work on.
Brian, we can't hear you back here. You're not talking into your microphone.
Sorry.
Is it on?
I was just saying that in the last meeting it was noted that as far as coming forward with some specifics, and that's something as a committee we can work on. I believe that was suggested by Brock Edinger.
I got one quick question. Mm-hmm. What's different? What different questions would you have from this committee that the other committee wouldn't have, that you have to have in two different committees and get answers that couldn't just be done from one committee? Since it's in
two. Yeah, I think we originally put it in to this committee because we wanted an amendment that would be more specific. And then we realized that that specificity involved the actual $50,000. And so originally we were just looking at the grant itself, going through what it meant and the different areas that were covered. And then we realized that there needed to be a specificity about the money and that we would like to see. So we moved it to
the budget committee. Mr. Gerdowski?
Can I address the committee on this?
Madam Chair and council members, I may be able to shed some light on this because I've taken extensive notes in the committee discussions. The original, the thought process has proceeded along these lines. The ecology grant was a $50,000 lump sum. It wasn't designated for any particular purpose. The committee did research to determine if other jurisdictions would specify detailed uses of those funds. And there were examples in Tukwila and in other cities where those funds were more specifically designated in the budget. It's really a style or a policy of how you choose to do budgeting. A city can do its budgeting in a very broad way, or it can be more specific. And every city finds its own level. I suspect that this council may be more interested in having more specificity in the way budgets are handled. But last year's budget was just a lump sum. So now comes the grant request. And so the council has to approve the grant in order for the city to receive the money. That creates an opportunity for the council to weigh in with its policy setting authority to determine what's the best use of the money. So Seth Botcher provided a list of items. Groups like Save Black Diamond and other residents provided ideas. And the concept was that one of the best use of money, if you're trying to worry about trying to manage stormwater properly, is to make sure that your engineering standards, your design standards, are done correctly, that they're done per the latest and best science. And as you know, the Department of Ecology has promulgated a new manual. There's a deadline for all cities to adopt it by the end of the year. Some folks in this town have said that this could have been done a year or two ago. And some cities have already adopted that manual. That manual has better standards. And some developers tell me that those standards are actually save money, that you get a better project and it actually costs them less money. So there's a win-win there. So the committee, the growth management committee, is in your discussions, your last discussion, you suggested to the mayor and to the budget committee, or to the mayor, that you would like to have it earmarked, that you'd like $25,000 to be earmarked specifically to upgrade the manual, upgrade the code, and provide a best available science analysis so that the city's designs will be better, and therefore the need later to spend money to fix problems will go down. It's a stitch in time saves nine. So the Growth Management Committee is not in the business of addressing budgetary issues. And so the council referred this item to both the Budget Committee and the Growth Management Committee. The Growth Management Committee's job is to look at where to spend the money and why and how. And the Budget Committee's job is to figure out what's the legal mechanism for doing it. For example, should there be an ordinance that modifies last year's budget? Should there be a proviso put on the grant? So Councilmember Weber, the chair of the Budget Committee, sent, as you presented at your committee meeting, a memo to the mayor, and in listening to the response effectively said, the council doesn't have anything to do with this. The Department of Ecology administers the grant. Well, if you look at the grant, and I've been looking at these grants for years and years and years. County got them, cities I work with get them. It's $50,000, they all get them. And if you look at the grant, it's very, very broad. You can do almost anything. The city has wide discretion. The Department of Ecology does not micromanage the use of these funds. So to say that the Department of Ecology manages the funds and therefore the council has nothing to do with it, that just blows my mind, to use a terminology that's not necessarily professional. Of course the council can determine it. You're not going to lose the money. It's the grant. The Department of Ecology would probably be thrilled that you're planning to spend this money to front load your codes and regulations and standards and get some staff training. So what you've got here is a kind of a standoff that is being colored by the politics of the last few weeks. And hopefully The city will be working through those, and I won't belabor those here. But for now, we have from what I understand, the Growth Management Committee wanting to do the right thing in terms of how to spend the money. I think you've got staff that are perfectly willing to implement that. If they were here or allowed to be here, they could probably shed a lot of light on this. And so, and you've got the Budget Committee that is sending emails to the mayor and getting responses back like, you have nothing to do with this. So that's not the way, that puts you in a very awkward situation. So when a very thoughtful guy like Brock Deedy, who is asking very logical questions at both committees, when he asks that, just like his wife does, Councilmember Deedy does, when they ask a logical question, you're in a difficult position because you're not being supported in the proper way as committees are supposed to be supported when you're talking about staff support. And you're dealing with an intransigence that is making it difficult for you to do your job. So that's a combination of some political commentary on my part, but also, I hope, a substantive analysis or some substantive information as to why it's in two committees. And the path forward is very, very simple. All that has to happen is the mayor has to authorize Seth to talk to you guys about how you want to earmark that money, go into some more detail about exactly how the training and the standards and codes are going to be updated, put a price tag on it, come up with a commitment, and then put a proviso on the grants, which says the council approves the grant subject to the following proviso, and have the mayor agree to implement the proviso, and then the public gets what they need. The staff is empowered to do what they do best, and you can move forward. So that would be the solution. That's the path forward. But to do that, you're going to have a paradigm shift about the relationship between the mayor and the council. And that day will come because it must come, because that's the way the law is written. State law authorizes this system. This system has to be allowed to work. The council is an equal branch with the mayor. In fact, the council's role is as a balancing, trust but verify relationship. And the public is better served when the council legislates and the mayor administrates. And when you get it blurred, as the city has been done for the last few years, you create the situation where things that are simply outrageous in other jurisdictions that I go to, in the city of Black Diamond, is kind of normal because that's the way it's always been done. In any case, Madam Mayor, I think I have the floor. Madam Chair, I have the floor.
You're off track.
Indeed. And so, but I don't take my marching directions from somebody in the audience. Madam Chair, I hope that is helpful to you and the committee. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your remarks. Anyone else would like to make a comment about item 4?
Yeah.
Robin. Oh, no.
What? What was that?
Yeah, no, I said your name, and I'm trying to have you guys say your name.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yes.
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. I thought that Brock Deedy asked a really good question that never got answered, is that what questions is the Growth Committee going to send to get answered from the mayor that the Budget Committee is not going to ask? And wouldn't it be better, since Councilmember Weber is on both these committees, that the questions could be gathered together in one basket and shipped off to the mayor? It just seems like we're just kind of holding this thing up because we can, because of the political environment that showed up not the last few weeks, but on January 7th is when this political environment showed up, not just the last few weeks. So I'm thinking, if you guys really truly want to do the work of the city, you would streamline some of this stuff instead of just bouncing it back and forth. Well, we need this committee, we need that committee. In truth, these committees are made up of all of you guys anyway. So why, I don't understand it either. So can't you just gather all the questions of both the committees that you're on, put them in one email and ship them off and get your answers? It just seems to me that would be a better way to do it, instead of just continually putting this thing on the back burner over and over and over again. You say the mayor needs to work with you. Well, you guys need to work with her, too.
Well, and this isn't just anything new. I email the mayor for example, the DKS issue. That's a two different committee issue, potentially, as well. You've got DKS, you got the voucher, and you've got the growth management committee aspect of it as a traffic consultant.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's coming up as a resolution.
Other issues. So, you know, like I said, we talked to Brock, or you know, Brock came up and gave some good suggestion, and that's something we worked on and move forward with it. So,
and as far as staff at the committee meetings, the committee meetings were put in the evening so that the public could be here, not so that the staff could be here. The staff works; they do city work during the day. I've been emailing a lot of cities the same size as Black Diamond, and even cities larger such as Kent and Spokane, and come to find out their committee meetings are between staff and council members, not council members and public.
Okay.
Consequently, they're done more in a timely manner for staff benefit, not public. Thank you.
Item 5, public comment and discussion on the city's concurrency ordinance. We have been moving along with CAT has asked for some revisions, and we've sent them to staff and gotten some reply back. And we've also had those responses have legal comments attached to them. So these concurrency management issues are being worked on, and
I did send a couple emails that dealt with concurrency in the last week or so. Don't check my dates here. Okay, this was sent on March 30th at 11:54 a.m. It had an attachment of some comments from Mr. Rimbos of the TAT that I believe was some additional comments that Attorney Morris had made. So the email goes, Mayor Benson, regarding the city's traffic concurrency ordinance, there are still additional technical questions regarding concurrency. The city attorney already reviewed the materials and provided her input. Input is also requested from the staff, most likely the public works staff, who has worked on concurrency before. There is a document attached with comments and discussion items. I believe answers are likely to lead to additional questions / clarifications that will need discussion. For this reason, I request that the appropriate staff attend either the April 4th Growth Management Committee meeting at 7:30 or the April 14th Growth Management Committee meeting at 6:30. This way, members of the public, interested council, and staff can all work on this issue. Please let me know. If the staff would also share comments on the attached, that would be useful as the committee moves forward on its concurrency work. Okay. I do not believe I got a response on that yet.
I think there might have been a response on that about that they are working on traffic concurrency issues and they should have something in a couple of weeks.
I see that. My bad. I'm reading off a copy that I sent and then a copy that has the response. So Mayor Benson responded back to me the same day. An hour later, so the staff will not be attending the meetings, but Seth and our traffic engineer are working on the technical issues and should have some responses in the next 2 weeks or so. So I would hope that we hear something in the next 2 weeks. It's always nice to get staff updates for our committee meetings.
Any other public comment on concurrency ordinances? Okay, the city is working on that. And
I guess the question might be, what?
Do you want to come up? Come on.
What?
This is Brock Beattie from Black Diamond. What have you guys done? Are you guys moving forward? Do you have a plan? Do you have anything that you've worked on in regards to this concurrency, and is there any update from you guys? I mean, is the only thing that's going to happen is if staff's answered your questions, or are you guys doing anything on your own that might be something that we might learn from? Thanks.
I guess my best answer to that is we know that we the concurrency level of service is really important for the city and the future developments that are going to be occurring. And the Peter Rimbos and his team do a lot of research on this, and they also have a great many pages about concurrency. We are also working on the comp plan, and concurrency is part of that. So it's a continuing, ongoing process.
So I should talk to Peter Rimbos if I have questions about it?
I think he'd be delighted.
Rather than the two of you that are on the committee.
I would suggest you can talk to Peter or you can talk to Seth. This is, since the concurrency ordinance was approved, there has been some other additional comments that have been presented by Mr. Rimbos and the TAT that are working with Mr. Botcher in the city, and that is something that we periodically try to check in and see if there's any updates. So far, haven't heard a lot. I got that little blurb from the mayor that they're still working on it, but that's something, since it does, they're trying to work it with the comprehensive plan, as my understanding goes, since we're behind the ball on that one, trying to get the best currency we have. And so that's something that hopefully will come forward when we have the comp plan meeting with the a specific detailed highlight item that I can give you right this second.
I guess I would think that the committee would.
Well, then.
Okay. Anybody else want to talk about the city concurrency ordinances?
Chair Pepper, I think your response to Mr. Deedy, was excellent. That this is an ongoing process, and it's complicated. And the an amazing and inspiration show of openness for elected officials to make themselves this available in the evening for the public in the details. And that is a degree of accountability that is remarkable, because usually there are barriers between the public and the elected officials. In my experience, most elected officials are not particularly substantive on the details. You all are trying to do that. I know how hard that is, because that was the kind of role that I had on the King County Council, quite unusual for that council and for most councils. Most elected officials are spoon-fed by professionals. They sort of go along with the flow, and once in a while a decision is made. But the real work is typically done at the staff level, and the public doesn't get access to it. The city of Black Diamond is blessed to have people like Peter Rimbos and Pete Kellerman and Leanne Garcia and others, and Robin Taylor, as a matter of fact, who are willing to come in and get into this. The technical advisory team, is what TAT is, has done amazing work on the issue of concurrency. And they should absolutely be consulted and brought to the table and participating as full partners in this process. And I suspect they will. The observation that I would make is that I've worked with concurrency for 25 years very directly. I was the prime sponsor of the first concurrency ordinance in the state of Washington. There's two aspects to concurrency. There's the concurrency that you use in your overall planning, where you look at, if you're looking at traffic concurrency, you look at your zoning and you look at your planning and you ask yourself, in the long term, in the next 6 years, in the next 12 years, do we have adequate capacity? Do we have the funding? Will there be funding to provide the infrastructure that the growth that we're projecting needs? And that should inform your planning. There's another kind of concurrency that's embodied in state law that says that every single application has to be reviewed against the standard as to whether you have adequate road capacity. And if you don't, the city is obligated to deny the development. That's not a optional thing. Now, that you can use alternatives such as transit and other sorts of strategies in order to bring the project within compliance. You can also establish thresholds so that it doesn't apply to very, very small projects. But nonetheless, that is the aspect of concurrency that is permit review. And unfortunately, there has not been an appreciation of this in the city of Black Diamond for the last couple of years. And so when people talk about concurrency, it is not one thing. Concurrency, yes, is something that should be discussed in the context of the comp plan, but concurrency is also something that it should be discussed in the context of permit review. And then you've got the 900-pound gorilla in the room, and that is, to what extent will concurrency regulations that this city adopts apply to the Yarrow-based master plan development? That is highly debatable, is highly controversial, it could very well be litigated. It's a big issue, and the law is not clear on this. That's that third element. So I hope that's helpful, and thank you for subjecting yourself to amazing transparency, because you are doing your thinking aloud in public, and that is one of the most rare things that elected officials will ever do. And it is difficult, it is uncomfortable, and the public's not used to it. But when they get used to it, they're going to see the value of it.
Concurrency overall is a tremendous opportunity for the city of Black Diamond. And we just have to figure out how to use it to our advantage.
Okay, we have anyone else who'd like to speak to this concurrency? Discussion of the comprehensive plan. Comprehensive plan is ongoing. It has to be revised every so many years. So far, the Planning Commission and the Council have gone over the overview, the urban growth, the population and employment character, natural environment. Coming up next week, I believe, is land use. You're welcome to come to the meeting and listen to the meeting. Also, you can fill out, there's something online, a questionnaire online that you can fill out if you wish to contribute to the plan. So, anybody want to comment on this?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I also believe it was Barbara Kincaid's idea to have sheets that can be filled out and submitted, like form comment forms. Mm-hmm. The Survey Monkey is also, I believe, on the Spotlight page, so it's not too hard to find, I believe. But you know, it does ask for your name and stuff. But you know, it's one little nugget of trying to get your voice out there and be heard by, get your vision heard for the comp plan, because that's what it's about.
Anybody want to talk about the comprehensive plan? Okay. Discussion of the committee work and future agendas. Okay, we are moving item 3 forward. In item 2 and 4, we have a poll, and the concurrency, the comprehensive plan, will stay on the agenda.
Necessarily for the next meeting, but future down the road meetings. Look at doing some, trying to see if we can get maybe some more updates on some things that we've been working on.
Yeah.
That's something we can work on as chair and the vice.
Yeah.
To let the public know, but hopefully let them know what's going on kind of behind the scenes with what we're working on, and if there's any progress that we can make with it.
Okay.
But I agree that we need to keep the comp plan. That's an ongoing issue. I would say also the concurrency.
Yeah.
Because that as well is an ongoing issue. And as I noted in that email that I sent, that there is something in work evidently. So hopefully, I'll follow up again in 2 more weeks if I don't hear anything. So. Like I said, there's a short term for the next meeting that comes around, so.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, a lot of stuff in between there.
Okay, any comments for the good of the order? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
thank you for coming.
What's that? No, I don't know if I have to be here.